Socratic wig. I found my mother's hair on a foam head at Wigland. It lit up the downtown window display. Above it, a sign said, "The last true redhead." It was referring to my mother. She was the last true redhead, and now she was dead. We had buried her only days before. I went inside to sniff the scalp. The wig was teased a foot tall and smelled of formaldehyde, but I knew it was hers. It was the color of blood after it sets. My mother survived every other redhead in the world and died with the punctuation of that singular title, the last. Around her, gunmen felled the redheads neatly in the air or poached them into reclusion, but my mother sought protection in the high visibility of adult film. She lived to maturity and even bore offspring, two heads, matte black, my sister and I, and there the line ended. Her hair was the fossil that proved extinction. It was now selling at Wigland for $100. I tried to snatch the wig, but it was stuck to the foam head on which a robot had painted a stunned, sexless mien. The head dangled from my hand as the wig guard, a small person in a clinician's coat and cap, ran over swinging a broom handle. "Stop right there," she said. "That wig is real hair." "I know," I said. "It's my mother's." The wig guard held the broom handle erect, her body tensed around her weapon, a single muscular hinge. "Sir, step away from the wig," she said. "No homeless allowed." She thought I was homeless. In fact, I was a woman. "I will count to three," she said. "Then I will swing." We righted our postures. She panted loudly out of her mouth. "One, two," I presented myself. She socked my left breast. I was wearing 7 sweaters and felt only a dull nudge. Satisfied, she did not strike again. The wig was mine. I gathered the whole head under my arm like a football and took my leave. People cleared the sidewalks as I rushed by, gnashing the hair into its original shape. The rain helped. I had to calm it down. The wig was not calm. I told it that I knew everything, that I should have suspected it, that I was so sorry, because I knew there was only one person who coveted the hair enough to commit the perfect crime, my own sister. Kay had plucked each hair from our dead mother's head and sold it to Chinatown. She was not above it. Kay was a crook. She lived in a split-level house full of stolen hoards. She and her boyfriends took turns putting out household fires and selling each other's bodies for pills. She sold out her dead mother. I'd been nursing a new grudge against Kay, a dawdling infant grudge that was growing man-sized and malignant. Kay had sold our mother's funeral to a syndicated variety show. Our mother, who in recent years had been shy about her celebrity, was at least spared this last circus. Mother's brief film appearances looped on 20-foot screens above her casket. Our mother in a robe, answering the door. Our mother in a dirndl, delivering milk. Our mother in a sweater, shelving books. Kay edited out the actual porn. All around us, the crowd wept in a stadium-sized church. Hired mourners replaced our unattractive relatives. TV cameras filled the balcony with a high-pitched drone. "Accidental overdose," my sister said at the podium. The reporters chased me into the crypt, where I hid envious among the dead. My mother was buried in the blue suit she was married in. Her red hair fanned out around her. Her only adornment was her dull pearl earrings, the only thing Kay hadn't stolen from her before she died. At least she looked right for the photos. Where was our mother now, stripped in her grave? A rubber chicken?